Okay, well, I think we've caught up on our time. Our next speaker will be Richard Turner from Mississippi State University, speaking to us about alternative nitrogen management strategies for delayed flood rice production.
Thank you for that introduction. As you said, I'm Richard Turner, and I'll be talking about some new nitrogen management strategies that we're working on in delayed flood rice production. A little background on rice production in the Mid-South. We put up rice levees across the fields in order to hold water, maintain water. We flush the fields multiple times. This is to help get the rice to germinate, come up. We rely heavily on aerial applications, airplanes, to put out a lot of our urea nitrogen fertilizer, which is the main source of our nitrogen fertilizer. And we do that because of the levee systems. Normally we have to put it out multiple times per year. We'll bottle feed it throughout the year. We'll put a little bit out early in the season, a little bit out mid-season, possibly even a little bit out late season, depending on the nature of the rice, how it looks, color, all those characteristics. The objective of our study was to determine a more economical way that we could either apply the nitrogen or how we could apply less nitrogen or apply a new strategy or a different source of nitrogen in order to get the same response or put out less so we don't have to buy as much, so to speak. As you can see in that picture, we didn't want to fly in. We couldn't do it. We were doing it on a small scale, so we couldn't fly in nitrogen in a small scale. So you can see the tracks where we've tracked up the field walking, and we put out the fertilizer by hand, scattering it with little hand fertilizers, slingers, and you can see the light color there from some of the fertilizer applications. Those fertilizer applications went out at two leaf. That was one of the timings that we were using. If you could put it out with a ground rig at two leaf, the rice would stand back up. And if you could apply it at two leaf, then you could get your nitrogen out before the levees were applied. So you wouldn't have to depend on an airplane using that early application timing. The rice selection, the variety that we chose was Clearfield 163. Clearfield 163 was chosen because this was predicted to be the next top-selling rice variety in the state of Mississippi. We used two soil types. We used a tunica clay soil and then a commerce silty clay. We used these two because those are some of the more common rice ground that we use in Mississippi. Randomized complete block was our stats that our layout of our field. It had four replications at each site year. There was five site years. This is a two-year study. Grain yield was adjusted to a uniform 12% moisture, and above ground biomass samples were taken at PD and at heading to evaluate N uptake. We took the samples at PD so that we could see the early timings, how much was uptaken by the plant before the mid-season applications were taken, was put out, was applied. And that was the point of the heading biomass samples, was so that we could see how much was getting uptaken from the mid-season applications. The nitrogen sources that we used was urea, ammonium sulfate, diammonia phosphate, NBPT treated urea, and environmentally smart nitrogen. We had a yearly total sum of nitrogen of 168 kilograms per hectare on our silty clay soils and 202 kilograms per hectare on our clay soils. This was from previous research, and it called for a lump sum all at one time. This was a recommendation for the University of Mississippi State, and some of the timings that we used was two leaf, as I'd mentioned earlier, because you could drive over it and it would stand back up. At plant, some previous research had been done with ESN at plant application, and then 7 days before flood is very common as far as farmers. They like to use this 7 days before flood because it's at a critical growing time right there, and in the mid-season because the growers also, like I said, the consultants, they really push this mid-season application, but then you have to apply it multiple times throughout the growing season. So you're racking up expenses as far as applications. This graph is a little noisy, and on the left is treatments, and all the columns over here in the left, this is how the treatments are going to be denoted throughout my talk, like I said. So So keep these in mind, and then the time is actually like when that application was. So the ESN AP is ESN applied at planting, and so on and so forth. As I said earlier, for the clay soils, the 202 kilograms of hectare, N per kilograms per hectare, and the ESN is to say that all 202 pounds, kilograms of hectare came from that one product. So don't get confused with the ESN beside it, because that's just the single source that the N is coming out of. We hypothesize that our ESN applications or the management strategies could perform just as good, if not better possibly, as the more common split application practices that our growers and our consultants are recommending doing. As I said, there was 5 site years. The first 2, site year 1 and 2, that was from 2015, and 3, 4, and 5 were from 2016. This just shows that we had a variety of timings when we planted, when we harvested, and it's got some of the important in times, the growth stages and stuff like that, when we flooded, when we harvested, when we put out the mid-season applications. And this is just to kind of help y'all realize the growing, help y'all see how the growing stage of the rice and when we do what throughout the year. This is just a picture of some of the plots that we had at our station. This is 7, and then the one on the far right is the whole field from afar. So you can see this, a lot of the treatment variation as far as height and vigor and green. It speaks for itself as far as just looking at the pictures, and you can see that there is treatment variation just from looking at the pictures. I mean, you don't even have to see yield or anything, and you can tell that there's going to be differences there. This first graph is total rice in uptake. On the y-axis on the left, we have weight in kilograms per hectare, and on the x-axis, we have our treatments. The gray bars, the shorter bars, is the in uptake from our PDs, and then the taller, more maroon bars is all the bars start from 0. So you would expect more in to be uptaken throughout the total year. And as you can see, the 7-day, the Agritain, the MVP treated your treatments, 2 of the 3, I mean, did the best as far as on the PD, the pinnacle initiation, the pinnacle differentiation. And then you can see how the mid-season, the plus MS, that's the ones that got the mid-season urea shots. This, like I said, that would have been put out with an airplane or something of that nature. And at the heading stages, they had significantly more in uptake. This was number of tillers was also one of the factors that we were looking at. Agritain 7 days before flood, Agritain mid-season, and ESN did mid-season, yielded significantly higher, more tillers than any of the other treatments. The mid-season applications, both of them were the highest. I mean, this was expected. We expected that to happen because the readily available N from the nitrogen application that was put out at mid-season. The Agritain 7 days before flood, like I said, the Agritain is readily available. The urea is readily available. So you would expect a fast green up and the plant to be growing very vigorously at this time. Mean rice grain yield. On the y-axis, we have yield in kilograms per hectare. And on the x-axis, we have our treatments also. The Agritain 7 days before flood and the Agritain mid-season yielded significantly higher. The Agritain 7 days before flood is put out all at once, but you would have to put it out with an airplane. The Agritain mid-season was put out with an airplane twice because it had the mid-season application. This was, like I said, these are the more common. This is what the consultants are pushing. This is what they use. So we expected it to be the best because that's what everyone's using. But as you can also see, how the Agritain mid-season is significantly the same as the ESN put out at 2-leaf, which is, we put that out with a ground rig early in the season. We never had to put out any more nitrogen with it. So, like I said, it went out all at once, all at bulk, with a ground rig, never did anything else to it. And it yielded the same as the ESN with the blended fertilizer, the DAP and the AMS, the ESN plus the mid-season shot. So that one would have had an airplane expense at 2 applications. And then the ESN, the 7 days, applied 7 days before flood. And all of our nitrogen treatments did better than our untreated control. So the rice is very responsive to nitrogen, of course. The graph on the left, this is environmental conditions for 2015. And the graph on the right is environmental conditions for 2016. It's kind of noisy, but the green line represents air max temperature. The blue line represents air minimum temperature. The red line represents soil temperature at 2 inches, and then the bars represent precipitation. On the y-axis on the left, we have temperatures in Celsius, and on the y-axis on the right, we have precipitation in centimeters, and along the x-axis, we have our dates. So as you can see, from year to year, our environmental conditions were pretty stable. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of variation, and this was going to help us explain some of the results that we saw from the talk. So environmental conditions weren't as big of an issue as we thought they were going to be. Getting to our results, I'll talk about the in-uptake first. As I already said, the plots that received the MVPT, the readily available nitrogen, performed, I mean, the best. We expected that. They yielded higher than any of the other treatments. At PD and for the heading samples, the ones that received the mid-season application did the best. And also that's because they had readily available nitrogen from the urea application. And all of them did better than the untreated control. To the tillers, the number of tillers per plot varied with treatment. Plots receiving the MVPT at 7 days before flood, ESN plus the mid-season urea application, and the agritane plus the mid-season application all had significantly the same tillers. MVPT-treated urea performed the best, most likely due because it's immediately available to the plant. As I already said, we expected that to happen. Mean grain rice yield, it varied also with management strategies. Like I said, from our pictures, you could see the difference. You knew it was about to happen. All plots receiving N yielded significantly higher than untreated checks. Agritane 7 days before flood produced numerically the same rice grain yield and statistically similar to rice grain yields to agritane plus the mid-season application. ESN mid-season, agritane-coated urea, applied with the DAP, applied at 2-leaf, ESN, all applied at 2-leaf, ESN applied 7 days before flood, and ESN plus the DAP applied at 2-leaf produced similar yields, mean rice grain yields. ESN applied at planting produced significantly greater yields than the untreated check. From my conclusions, we believe that rice can be grown using some of these newer nitrogen management strategies. Even though the older one, the ones that are already established worked the best, we believe that with these new management strategies, cutting out applications, we think that it can be done, that it can be grown with less expenses and still maintain yields. And before I end, this picture right here, as you can see, it's raining in the background. And we didn't stop harvesting that day. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Stoneville, but a rain will be coming straight for it, and it'll split, and it didn't rain for like the last four months in Stoneville. So it never rains in Stoneville. So, and with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. The question was, do we have any problem with our ESN moving? And yes, sir. We got a GoPro and we mounted it in the field as we were flooding the field, and it's pretty astonishing at how much movement you can get from that product. Yes, sir.
Another question.
Yes, sir. All right, the question was, how much cost is there going to be associated with some of these products? And the ESN does cost about $100 more per ton than the urea. But the MVPT, if you treat the urea with the MVPT, and that's what everyone's already using, it's already $80 for a gallon, and you're going to treat it 2 or 3 quarts per ton. So you are coming out a little bit cheaper using the MBPT treated urea, but like I said, if you can put it out and you got the slow release effect of the ESN, because it's a controlled release fertilizer, you might not have as much runoff, and we thought it was going to bottle feed the rice without having to apply the multiple applications. And from the two leaf ESN, just all at two leaf, like I said, it was a B significant level, and so it yielded the exact same statistically as the Agritain plus the mid-season application. So you were comparing two applications to one application. So we believe we're going to run economics on it, and we believe that you will be able to, economically, it will come out in your favor possibly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, y'all.